Then comes baby in a baby carriage. Then comes diapers, crying babies, sleepless nights, terrible twos, troublesome threes, fearsome fours. Then comes car payments, then comes mortgages, house repairs, cars breaking down, property taxes. Then comes mean bosses, layoffs, nagging in-laws, arguments, parents not talking. Then comes braces, weight gain, back-talking teen. Then comes hospital stays, medical bills, grandpa moving in. Then comes college bills, wedding planning, their in-laws. Then comes another baby, then comes more.
I have to take a breath. That video really makes me take a breath to say, whoo, my. Think all that was in the past. I guess I'm glad it's in the past, but it was a lot to go through during all those times too. Well, welcome to Rise Christian Church. That's my second time in my life I've ever said that. I said it in the early service, but man, it's exciting to see what's happening around here. Lynn and I have been watching online, of course, and Facebook posts and whatnot from all of you. We're just amazed and thank the Lord for all that's happening. We'd be here more with you on Sundays to enjoy the happenings, but Lynn and I are busy on Sundays. We fill in at different churches. We preach just about every Sunday around the mountains, usually in West Virginia or at least the West Virginia area, and we just don't have Sundays off to be here. But we are amazed as we look around and see what's happening here on the grounds and what's getting ready to happen here in the building, and to see a full house here in the second service, just like a full house in the first service, and so many of you that are remaining faithful to the Lord, that we're so happy to see you doing that. And all the new people that we don't even recognize, it's even greater to see the church reaching out to even more folks. So our hearts are with you. We're pulling for you. Our prayers are with you. We'd be with you more physically if we could, but the Lord's allowing us to enjoy so many congregations in filling in. Well, thank you for letting me come on this Sunday as we finish out your series talking about grandparents and grandchildren. How many grandparents do we actually have here this morning? How many of us? Looks like I want to say a fifth maybe of the crowd. Even one of them made it all the way up steps in the balcony. Congratulations. Regardless, how many grandchildren do we have here this morning? Can I see your, come on now. Everybody's got to be a grandchild, right? Everybody, if I remember right, there's only been one who was born of a virgin. And he's only here in spirit this morning. But think of this. Even Jesus had a maternal set of grandparents. Isn't that right? Isn't that very interesting? I wanted to do a Bible study for this message on Jesus' maternal grandparents. There's just nothing there. I mean, there's nothing really to study on that. We've got Mary running to Elizabeth, and it makes me wonder, did she run to her mother, you know, and what did mom and dad think about what was, you know, all going on? But, I mean, that's just all speculation. We don't know, but Jesus had a set of grandparents on his mother's side. That's just phenomenal for me to think about. And some of us had wonderful grandparents. How many of you would testify to that? You thank the Lord that you had some wonderful. Not everyone did, and I understand that. And if yours weren't, then we do recognize that too. But this morning we're going to talk about wonderful grandparents, or at least how we can be. And some of us still have wonderful grandparents. How many of you are so blessed that you still have wonderful grandparents alive today? Now, I can't raise my hand on that one. My grandparents are all gone now, but I did get to know at least three of my grandparents, and for my generation, that was a blessing. A lot of folks growing up my age did not get to know three of their grandparents, but I did. Now, my fourth, he was home with the Lord before I was ever born, but he's the grandparent I'm named after. That's Grandpa Gus. Grandpa Gus. And I actually look forward someday of getting to know Grandpa Gus. I hope to spy him out on one of those golden streets one day and go up to him and say, Grandpa Gus, I'm your grandson, Gus. And I've always wanted to meet you. I've heard so much about you. In fact, I've tried to live a lot of my life like you, especially the Christian part of my life. And I'm so glad that we are finally here together, grandfather and grandson, together forever by the grace of God in heaven. Amen? That's what I'm hoping for. That would be a prize of eternity for me. And that's what I'd like for us to think about for a few moments this morning, what I'm calling crossing the great divide. Crossing the great divide. Our world may be more divided today than at any time in my lifetime, at least that I can remember. Israel is divided against Iran, China against Taiwan, Russia against Ukraine, Republican against Democrat, black against white, unfortunately men sometimes against who? Come on now, there's only two sexes. You got to stay with me here. Have I already lost you? All right. Men against women. And even what we're talking about this morning, young are sometimes divided against the old. I don't know that I can ever remember a time in my lifetime when our world was more divided. And it's that last division I want us to focus in on this morning, the growing divide between young people and older people. And that's a division, by the way, that can be seen way back even in Bible days. Leviticus 19:32 says, this is a commandment of the Lord, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I'm the Lord. And yet you turn to the New Testament in 1 Timothy 4:12, and there the Apostle Paul says to the young man, don't let anyone look down upon your what? Your youth. Rise in the presence of the aged. But don't let anyone look down on your youth. Why did things like that need to be said in the Bible if not for the need for the young and the old to fight a temptation in some respect or lack of respect to look down on the other generation? Young people, don't look down on the older people. Rise in respect. Old people, don't look down on the young people. They've got things they can contribute in this world as well. Why did those things need to be said in Bible times if there wasn't a little problem with those things in Bible times? One older American wrote earlier this year in the Wall Street Journal, she said, we're old, retired, and apparently invisible. It seems that young people don't even see us anymore. And that retired writer went on to talk about how she and her retired husband find themselves often ghosted, that's her word, ghosted by young people at the coffee house or while they're just out and about. The couple speaks and waves and nods and smiles to all the young people who are busy going about their business that day, but the young people don't seem to even acknowledge these two older people's presence. We're visible. We're invisible, they say to one another. They can't see us. And I'm sure that most of you know that it's no exaggeration for me to tell you what a challenge it is for me to get my own grandchildren to come to the table and put down their phones and look their pawpaw in the eyes and have an actual dinner conversation with the old man. I mean, sometimes I feel like pulling out my phone and saying, look at me. I want them to acknowledge that at least I haven't kicked the bucket yet. I'm not asking them to stand in the presence of the aged. Just acknowledge that I'm still here, still in their world. Now, I love my grandkids. And I have no doubt my grandkids love me. They love their mama better than me. I know that too, but she spoiled them. more than me. But I know my grandkids love me, and I know that they're sure going to miss me when I'm gone. But I'd kind of like to have them to want to be around me while I'm still here as well. Does that make sense? And that's only one picture of the great divide that we're talking about here this morning. On the other side, we got young people who've had to listen to the same old war stories from the same old codger for the umpteenth time. You know, it scares me sometimes when I'm in the middle of one of my stories and I think, oh, wait a minute, they've heard this before. They're going to know if I fudge. But how many times do we older people say things like, oh, things were so much better way back in the good old days? How today's movies and today's music have gone to pot and today's morals have gone to rot. And how back when we were young, we could find all sorts of things to do without iPhones and earbuds and digital streaming and video games and endless scrolling. That being said, who do old codgers like me turn to when we can't program our smart TVs and remotes? Who do we turn to when we have tech problems with our iPad or our laptop? Who are you going to call? It sure ain't Ghostbusters. It's my son, usually. Now it's becoming my granddaughter and my grandsons. These are grade school kids that know more about my devices in my home than I do. And I live there, and they only come to visit once or twice a year. It's in times like that when I see them doing these phenomenal things that I don't even understand. It's in times like that when I think about all the knowledge that must be in those little bodies. And I wonder if Paul didn't acknowledge something like that when he told young Timothy, don't let anyone look down upon you just because you're young. You've got things you can contribute to this old world as well. Now, I was looking for that little nugget of a verse in preparation for this sermon. I knew it was in one of the Timothys. I couldn't remember which one or where it was. That happens when you get older. Your mind just gets expanded and expanded till things just start seeping out, and I don't know where they go. But I knew that verse was in the Bible somewhere, and so I fired up the NIV text in my Logos Bible software, and I typed in those key words. I typed in the word youth. I knew that was in the verse. And look, that was in the verse. And down. I used those three key words. I said, that should find that verse. I typed in youth, look down, and I hit enter, and up popped this verse, 2 Kings 2:23. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel, and as he was walking along the road, some youths, there's my first key word, came out of the town, and they jeered at him. Go on up, you bald head, they said. Go on up, you bald head. And he, Elisha, turned around, looked, there's my second key word, looked at them and called down, there's my third key word, a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Well, I know that wasn't quite the verse I was looking for. And I know there's more to the moral of that story than don't poke the bear by making fun of old people. Elisha's mentor was Elijah, who had just been taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, removing God's prophet from the earth, and with it, God's voice upon the earth. And what these young people wanted to do was to get Elijah's replacement, Elisha, off their playground too. And when they said, go on up, you bald head. They really meant up. They didn't mean up the hill. They meant up and out of here. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want to hear what God has to say through you, not on our playground. You get out of here. Now, that's pretty disrespectful, even without the old bald head part. And it's truly rebellious against the Lord when it comes to not even wanting to listen to anything the Lord has to say anymore. And I hope if you take anything away this morning, you take that. There's always going to be a price to be paid when you decide you're not going to listen to the Lord anymore. There's going to be a price. I'm not saying the bears are going to come out and get you, but there will be a price to be paid. Let's do better than that. Let's be better than that. Let's acknowledge this morning what grandparents have that many young people don't yet. And that is experience. Experience. The grandparents have been there and done that already. Now, maybe you haven't as a young person yet. And maybe there are some things that are better learned secondhand from somebody else rather than having to learn them firsthand yourself on the street in the school of hard knocks. I think that's largely what the book of Proverbs is about in the Bible. An older person, maybe a father, a mother, sometimes a grandmother, a grandfather, is trying to dispense wisdom that they have learned over a lifetime of experience, and they're trying to dispense that wisdom to a younger loved one that they're leaving behind. Now, that's why we hear Solomon begin the whole book by saying, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And then all kinds of advice follows about all kinds of things, some of them not even religious things. But they are things that the young person may have never faced yet. And these older people that love them in their life, they want to share those experiences with the loved one that very soon they're going to be leaving behind. You know, one of the most practical pieces of advice you'll ever receive is this one, okay? It's so simple, but it's absolutely correct. Don't make mistakes. Isn't that a good piece of advice? I don't care what job you're doing. I don't care what assignment you've been given. Don't make mistakes. Well, how do you know what a mistake is? Usually you know because you've made a mistake and you've learned it's a mistake. But you know, there's another way of learning what a mistake is without making it. It's by listening to someone who has already made it and learning from their experience something that they're willing to share that they've learned so that you don't have to learn the way they learned. Now, my grandfather, the one I knew anyhow, was a very simple man. He was not a very religious man. But he cared about me. And he loved me. And so he shared the knowledge that he had with me, his grandson, most of which had to do with mechanics and gardening, because that's where he experienced most of life. Grandpa was a Caterpillar mechanic, and he worked on big stuff, bulldozers and backhoes and rock trucks, and great big stuff, great big tools. I can remember him sending me after tools when I was a little kid, and I couldn't carry them in my hand. I had to carry them on my shoulder. The wrenches were so big, and it was hilarious to watch Grandpa in his retirement work out in the driveway on a little lawnmower engine or a tiller with a great big bulldozer wrench. It was really, really fun to see him do it, and he pulled it off. But he taught me a lot of practical stuff during those matters. Once he sent me around the house with a styrofoam cup. And so I ran around the house. He wanted me to get a little gasoline to prime one of the engines he was working on in a carport. And some of you already know where this is going. But I'm a little kid. What do I know? You know, I hadn't experienced this yet. And so I take this little styrofoam cup, and Grandpa's put me on an assignment. I can do this. I'm a big boy. I can I can contribute. So I'm running around the back of the house, and I pour gasoline in this styrofoam cup, and I run back around in front of the house, and I hand the cup to Grandpa, and Grandpa holds the cup up, and he said, oh. He says, there's a hole in this cup. So he gives me another styrofoam cup until it sends me around to get some more gasoline to prime the engine. And this time I watch the gasoline dissolve the bottom of the styrofoam cup. Because gasoline and styrofoam don't mix. And I came back up with another empty cup, and Grandpa was just laughing and laughing. He taught me a lot of stuff. Like, I think he enjoyed it more than I enjoyed it, but he taught me a lot of stuff. Stuff that he had learned through a lifetime of personal experience, and he loved me. And so he was sharing what he knew with the one he loved before he left him. Man, we don't want to discount that. I often wonder about all the Christian stuff my other grandpa, Grandpa Gus, could have taught me had he lived long enough, being a Sunday school superintendent up in the mountains of Clay County, West Virginia. Man, I would have loved it. What kind of stuff could I learn from Grandpa Gus? But you know what? I'll bet you it would have been the same kind of stuff that Grandpa Gus taught my dad. And my dad shared with me. And me and Lynn shared with our kids. And now our kids are sharing with our grandkids. Folks, that's the way it can work when the previous experience of the previous generation is not discounted by the generations that follow. In fact, this is actually in the Bible. Paul says to young Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now, I'm persuaded, lives in you also. That's how it can work. When we acknowledge what grandparents have that young people often don't yet, and that is experience. But then let's not gloss over what young people have that many older people don't anymore, and that's what I'm calling this morning enthusiasm. Now, you could say it in a lot of different ways. You could call it enthusiasm or youthfulness, vim, vigor, physical strength, innovation even, putting some fun back into life again, doing some old things in some new ways. But we lose some of this as we get older. Sometimes we actually grow negative and critical as we get older. And young people hear that. They see that within our lives. And sometimes it takes them to correct that in our lives. This is why I don't play singles anymore. I only play doubles. And in fact, I'm thinking about going over to the dark side and giving up tennis for pickleball. Because I'm getting older and the court's not getting any smaller. And I know the day's coming when I'm just going to have to own it. I'm not a young man anymore. The Bible says about Moses that Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. And folks, I'm barely half that age, and my eyes are nearly shot, and my strength isn't half what it was. And I'm becoming more and more thankful for younger people that the Lord has put in my life to help me with the heavy lifting. How many older people can say that? Would you be humble enough to say that? That you are thankful for the younger people to help you with some of this heavy lifting that we can't do on our own anymore. I'm thankful that they help me with the heavy lifting. I'm thankful they show me a new and easier, sometimes better way to do that lifting. And sometimes just by encouraging me not to give up lifting altogether. Some older people do that. We get old, we retire, and then we expire in an easy chair somewhere. And that could be me. I have my spoken for chair. And it's the first place I hit to when I come through the door. And I could remain there and die there if someone didn't get me out of there. Sometimes it takes a younger person to encourage an older person to get out of the chair and get back out there where we can share with the rest of the world what we have, by personal experience, learned out there. My son's AC went down a couple weeks ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And he called an older repairman to come and repair his air conditioner. And that older gentleman not only repaired my son's air conditioner, but he also showed my son, didn't have to do this, but he showed my son how my son might want to try his own hand at repairing his own AC the next time it went down. Some do-it-yourself kinds of things. Save him a lot of money. Now, that older gentleman didn't have to do that, but he did. He passed down a little personal experience to my son. He actually almost worked himself out of a job. But he shared that with my son. I was very thankful about that. You know, it wasn't very long after that my AC went down. And I called the repairman. But then I thought, wait a minute, JW's AC went down not just a couple weeks ago. So before the repairman came, I called my son. And my son was eager to share what he'd learned from his old gentleman. He was eager to share with his old man a few of these do-it-yourself things I could try myself. And I have to admit, I was pretty skeptical at first. I was very leery. I almost backed out. But my son encouraged me by sending me of YouTube video links that showed me how I might do a few of these things myself. So with my son's encouragement and YouTube's enlightenment, I gave it a shot. I got out of the chair and I went out there. And I did a couple of things. I ended up buying a $14 part and I saved myself a $300 repair bill. And I would have never have done this, never in a million years, without the encouragement of my son and the enlightenment of that newfangled video link. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? You know who would have thunk it? Every young person in this room right now is shaking their head and saying, you don't know about YouTube video links? And all this stuff you can... I preached this sermon at Kentucky Christian College or University here a week or two ago, and I'll probably never be invited again because this is the point where I said, you know who would have thunk it? And everybody up in the balcony, I don't know, there's about 800 students, they were all shaking their head. I said, yeah, you guys would have all thunk it. You would have known it. I mean, you can learn anything on YouTube. I don't even know why you students are here. Why didn't you stay home and learn this on YouTube? And the college president is sitting right there going... First and last. But who would have thunk it? These young people would have thunk it. They know stuff that we didn't know. We didn't experience. We didn't have computers. I don't even know if I'm saying this video link thing right. But they know about things that you and I don't know about that they can share and they can contribute. And that's why I'd like to close our time together by reminding all of us, whether you're young or old, I want to remind all of us what both of us have that we can share, if we will. Young or old, both of us have each other, if we will. Paul had his Timothy, old apostle, young preacher man. Before that, Paul has his John Mark, if you know the history of the church in the book of Acts. Later, old man Barnabas takes young John Mark under his wing. Later, it appears the apostle Peter took Mark under his wing. Elijah, we've already mentioned, had his Elisha. Moses has his Aaron, but later he also has his Joshua, the young man that took his place. Naomi has her Ruth. Mary has her Elizabeth. Esther has her Mordecai. We could go on. Many of our biblical heroes, they also had their near-aged peers as well who helped them carry on in the work of the Lord. But that's a sermon for another occasion. This morning, we're being reminded how many partners that the Lord has given us to partner up with. Many of these partners include partners from another generation. Grandpas and grandmas with their grandchildren. And if we're not careful, we can let a difference in our ages become a great divide, and we can disregard the very partnership that the Lord has given us to partner with. And we'll be all the poorer for it. Or we can choose this morning, if you haven't already, to cross this great divide between young and old and learn from each other, encourage one another, and help each other become all we can be. Now, our oldest grandchild just began high school. Her first assignment was to create a time capsule of encouragement. I've never heard of this before in school, but she came to me and said, "Papa, we've been asked to create a time capsule and ask our friends and family to all write us encouraging letters towards our future and enclose them in a time capsule that I won't get to see until some future time." It's an interesting assignment. I never heard of such a thing, but that was her assignment. And she asked me to be one of her encouragers. She asked her papa if he'd write a letter of encouragement for her future life that she would open up and read at a future time. And I wrote 2 pages worth. I mean, she should have asked somebody else. I'm a preacher. It's a disease, man. So she's got 2 single-spaced pages to read at some future occasion. Odessa, if you're watching online right now, this is where you got to turn off and tune out. You can read it in a future time of your life. But I want to read to you the last paragraph only. That I wrote for my granddaughter. Here's what I said. "Odessa, hopefully you are beginning to realize what a blessed little girl you were. How things could have been so much different for you in Haiti. How you had a mom and a dad and a church that was always pulling for you and steering you, and yes, sometimes disciplining you in the right direction. I remember driving 200 miles a couple of times myself to try and set you back on the right path. But know this, your mama and your papa never stopped loving you and praying for you, our first grandchild. And it is our hope to live to see what a beautiful Christian woman you become. And if we don't live to see it, we pray we'll get to hear all about it straight from the horse's mouth one day in heaven. You make that happen, would you, Odessa? You take the lead in setting that kind of example for all of our grandchildren to follow. And you will make us one eternally happy set of grandparents. Our prayers are with you. We're pulling for you." And we signed it Papa Gus and Mama Lynn. And I saved that to say at last, there is nothing more important to Lynn and I right now in our lives, in all the world, than to have our grandchildren and our children and all our families with no one missing surrounding us eternally one day in heaven. We're almost there. but their time's coming. And we don't want any of them to miss out on being with us there. And every one of you Christian grandmas and grandpas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we began this morning by asking how many grandparents we have here and how many grandchildren as well. But let's close by asking how many of us are willing to reach across this great divide to help and to be helped by someone younger or someone older than us on the other side. What young person will help an old grandpa like me learn some of this newfangled stuff and encourage gramps not to give up, but to get back out there and share and give it a shot? What grandma or grandpa is willing to share some of your life experiences with a grandchild who could benefit from what you've already been through so that they don't have to? That's all we need to do to cross the great divide. Let's do that, could we, together? Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us so many with which to partner with in this life, that we do not have to do this alone. And thank you for your word this morning that helps us acknowledge that many of these partners that you've given us to partner with are partners on the other side of the divide. Help us not discount that partnership, but to join within it and be all we can be for your son Jesus together. That's our prayer. And it's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people said, amen.